Satish Sanan is ready for us. And Satish, it's another derby, and like I say every year, you should be here with us.
I wish I was there with you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. And give everybody an update on the project.
Project is going well. It's a very challenging project. As you know, healthcare is a very complex $3+ trillion industry, and we are focused on very important and small piece of it, which is helping cancer patients survive longer, get better quicker, and better outcomes. And poured in a ton of money in this business, and before I pass away, this will be a big thing that I will do, Steve. So that's what I'm focused on. 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is what I do.
Well, anything that you focus on is going to be time well spent, and obviously worthwhile when you talk about trying to identify cancer in patients faster, and whenever the time's right to provide all the details and the launch, and I can't wait to hear when it's ready to be sent out into the public eye. What is ready for the public eye, hopefully, are your Oaks and Derby thoughts and plays, Satish. What do you think of this field? Let's start with the Derby, actually. We'll work our way back.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know what the weather is going to be like tomorrow, Steve. I mean, I know it's sloppy there today, but is it forecasted to dry out tomorrow?
It should. Well, it's going to dry out today. We're going to be the rain will be gone by noon, and you're going to have probably a pretty close to a good or fast track by Oaks time.
Oh, okay. That's because I should be okay. I don't spend a lot of time nowadays, but I like four horses in the Derby. I spent a little bit of time. I obviously don't have as much time as I used to and engaged, and I don't follow all the runners, but I think I narrow it down to four. I pick one. I think if the track is fast enough and good enough, and I like Maximum Security. I think if he gets out front, the way he ran the last race at Gulfstream, actually I bet him that day in the Florida Derby, I still have a occasional flutter here and there. So. I don't bet with both hands anymore, but I do. I like this seven. I like Billy Mott's horse a great deal. I think he wasn't fully cranked up in the Wood Memorial. I think he's bred to go long, and he'll be if the speed peters out, I think he'll be the one who'll be coming at the end. And I don't think that in the supers and so on you can leave two of Bob Baffert's horses out, 16 and 17, but I don't see either one of them winning. I see seven or eight. It's closing track. It'll be eight. If the speed holds up, it'll be seven. That's my pick.
Very interesting, and that could help people for their multi race wagers. Let's back up one to the Turf Classic, so we can build the Oaks Turf Classic Derby pick three that you always like.
Yeah, I like Canary. I'm going to make a wager on that today. I think it's a Chad Brown race. I just can't see anybody else beating him. I think it's Raging Bull. I mean, I think that, I'm assuming the track is going to be good. That's what it says. I just logged on and had a look at it. I like the Raging Bull, the two horse, two filly. I like the Tepid filly. I think she might be coming back. I mean, she won pretty impressively last time out, even though it was not a stakes race, but last but not least, I like Bricks and Mortar. I think the race at Fairgrounds was a good race, and I think obviously Giant Causeway bred to go and bred for the turf, and run well in the yielding ground. Ran a huge buyer in the yielding ground last time at Gulfstream, so I think it's a Chad's race. I just don't see anybody else winning that race. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're safe. I mean, I a lot of people are going to single Bricks and Mortar, actually, and really, call it a day, Frank. I mean, I think that's for people saving on budget, they're going to really focus on him.
Yeah, I don't think you can leave the 10 out, the Tapit filly. I think that, sorry, the Tapit horse. I think that horse ran big, you know. He's probably coming back. I mean, he closed those 10, 11 lengths pretty fast. And I think on the improve right now, ran a pretty damn good race in a yielding ground before at Saratoga last year. So
yeah,
if he's anywhere close to back to normal, I think it'll be knocking on the door. But I tend to agree with you. I think this is it's a race that's got to go through Chad. I think it's 2-8-12. Right? That's the way I look at it.
Very good. I like it. The 7 and 8 principally in the Derby, and how about today in the Oaks? Who's got to be on that ticket, Satish?
For me, I picked 4 horses, but if I was to single it today, I think it'll be Jaywalk. I think.
Ooh, look at you!
I think it ran pretty damn good. You have to ignore the Devonia Dale, but I think ran a big race prior to that. Came back a little bit in the Ash, and good workout from what I see at Keeneland.
Yeah.
5 and 59. So I like the to be honest, I think the one could, the Dallas filly could, turn around around the corner, could take off. So, you know, the 4 I like is 1, 4, 7, 13. But if, I think 13, even though long odds, I think if you ignore the last race, the Fairground Oaks, I think, I don't know what happened.
She bled. She bled badly. She bled.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's back on first-time Lasix, I guess, and the 2 workouts, some 4 in 47, 5 in 58 at Churchill. Jesus, that's fast.
If
you think
she worked.
The ground is going to be fast.
She'll
be right there.
She worked so good the other day when Amos, and that was an important workout, Satish, because Tom Amos wasn't running her. If she scoped afterward and there was any, if there was any blood at all, they weren't going to run. But she passed the flying colors and looked, I mean, she made that, if you watch that workout on XBTV, you'd be shocked. I mean, it was effortless. I mean, it looked tremendous.
Yeah, so I think the 2 that I would put on top would be Jaywalk and Serengeti Express, Tom's Philly. But I'm going to have 4 in there. I think the 1 could win. And 4 has got a shot. I don't know what you guys say. Obviously, she's got a credentials.
Yes, she does.
Hasn't run those big buyers, though. But the last workout at Anita was good. But, when you look at the thoroughgraphs and you look at the buyers and so on, I mean, she hasn't come close to the 100. So I think Jaywalk runs that race that she ran at Churchill last year in the British Cup Juvenile, I think they're all looking at her behind there. I think it could be Service, Oaks, and Double, Jason and John.
Jason and John, there you go. That would be a first for everybody that hasn't. If you haven't caught the numbers, let me give them to everybody. 1-4-7-13, 1-4-7-13 with the 3 Chads, 2-10-12 in
2-8-12.
The 2-8-12 or 2-10-12.
Let me make sure. 2-10-12. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're
yeah.
Right.
Although the eight is Shug with breaking the rules, and that's a horse that's moving in the right direction. I don't know if tomorrow's his day, but over the course of the spring summer, breaking the rules is going to force his way, to the top end of the division. 1-4-7-13 with the 2-10-12. Satish is focusing on the 7 and the 8 in the Derby, and that's only a $24 ticket for a buck. If you wanted to add a couple more, the other 2 Baffert's, 16 and 17, Game Winner and Roadster.
That's what we got.
We'll I love it.
There and, we'll send you a check for $1,000. How's that? Put it up there.
Excellent. It's a deal. Satish, you got a meeting, I know, at 11, so you got a time limit. I won't, and I'm not going to get you upset, but, I mean, obviously,
no, go ahead. It's okay.
You've been watching. even though you're not paying close attention, you have to have seen what we've gone through as an industry the last 60 to 90 days. Any thoughts on the quagmire it seems that we're in?
You know, you look back, Steve, you and I were talking for 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it was, and you look back at the industry when I first joined the Breeders' Cup. I joined the various boards and jumped into it. I think that fundamentally the business model and the industry has, and you heard me talk for 7 years about the business model. It's still an upside-down business model, and they got to take lessons. I used to talk about it. They got to take lessons from how things came back in the cricket. In India, that's a now $8 billion market company. And it's the same thing happened in Australia. I think the same thing. We just have too many divisions. We have, just like our freaking government, we can't seem to focus on a single mission as a industry. If we do that, if all the major constituents and stakeholders, stakeholders at the end of the day, it hasn't changed. It's the owners who put a lot of money. It's the racetracks who put up the show, and it's the paramutual where the money comes back and feeds into the system, and of course it's the fans. And if you focus on those four key constituents, then I think and have a business model that actually helps all four. It's the I talk actually now a great deal in the healthcare patients. At the end of the day, are the ones who are suffering, and there's no patient empowerment. We can't even get a good service. Doesn't matter whether you have money or not, and so on. So I think it's the same kind of thing. I mean, this is you have to figure out where is the money coming from, what does it get used for, and who enjoys it, and how do we make that productive? And I think if the powers to be, the old, the racetrack owners, the Churchills, the Nairas of this world, and San Anita and Stronach and so on, if they all sit around a table, they come up, this is an industry, this is jointly owned, put together a business model, come up with a proper, long-term, sustainable revenue model, I think that's what it needs to be done. And paramutual needs to be very much part of it. That's where the money comes from.
No, it hasn't. And I mean, there's been progress in certain areas, and certain organizations and certain parts of the business have made real progress. And no one seems to ever care to acknowledge that. But, we think back, I hear some of the comments that have gone on, and people talk about, if we could have this, and if we could have a revenue source, and if we could have a cohesive, and my answer to everybody is, well, Satish Sanand put that together, and it was inches away, and a couple of selfish people scuttled it. I mean, we were inches away.
3 days ago, you won't believe, 3 days ago, it's funny, you should call. I was speaking to somebody from Cantor Fitzgerald. And, they got destroyed in the 9/11.
Sure.
And when I was at the Breeders' Cup, my last meeting, I went to Vegas. They were willing to put together a few $100 million into a plan that was going to be the one location where Breeders' Cup would be held. And where all around, there was other parts of this the game would share in it. And racetracks would have shared, the owners would have shared, and so on. And it would dramatically change the way the business will be run in the future. You really have to apply to, your business mind to it. And I think too many divisions and, yes, certain parts of the business have made sense. But until you collectively, as four or five stakeholders, that represents the four constituents that I talked about, sit around a table, put together not a short-term, a long-term, sustainable business model with a clear strategy, and then you have to execute it with precision and accuracy and get it done. It could be a great industry, and you can make a lot of people happy and a lot of money and put money back into the business. That one needs to get done, not in individual pockets. So I'm singing the same song that I was many years ago.
You're like Tony Bennett. The greatest. Satish, everybody good? Ann and the kids?
Everything is good. And my best to you and Tina. Enjoy the Oaks today and the Derby, and I'll be rooting for those four today.
Good luck. The one and only Satish Sanand, and listeners to the show that go back to the origins, go back the full term, 14 years to life. The conversations, we called them our industry, and they were so insightful because Satish pulled back the curtain, sometimes to the consternation, frankly, of other industry leaders. But
we pissed away a lot of people. That's okay.
That's okay.
I always tell my kids and my wife and my employees, if you want the rainbow, you have to put up with the rain. And, you just got to do that. And you have to break a lot of glass if you're going to fix it. And I think we did that. A lot of people were not happy. But I mean this sincerely. I've been out of the business. That if this industry is to succeed and this industry needs to flourish, which it can, then you need the constituents around the table have a single-minded focus, a long-term strategy, and a revenue model and a business model that is sustainable, has growth potential, and then have the people who are committed to it and execute it.
You can see why we miss Satish's insight and his contribution to the game at every level. And the game, maybe this visit, Satish, starts a bring back, come back Satish movement.
We will do that. We have the money here that we can spend.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Just take care. My best to you and Tina and everybody else. Enjoy the day.
Satish Sanan, and always a wonderful treat. Joanne is asking me if we should break, and I think the answer is no. I think we've got 54 minutes, and we've got Hammer and Jimmy yet. We've got Maury Wolf. We've got Paul Matisse coming up. And if we can get to him, Gary Young. I mean, you'll see Gary on the NBC broadcast Saturday, but I wouldn't mind a couple of thoughts from Gary. So we're going to stay right here. And Paul Matisse standing by, another voice, very much focused on the betting side, on the gambling side. Paul Matisse has been forced into the limelight, starting when his NHC victory really brought him forward, and has been just a fabulous contributor in so many areas. And Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
Excellent. And nothing like a Satish Sanan visit and a stirring speech to make you, make you feel good. And
Unfortunately, I was running around. I missed it off to get on the replay, but I got a few text messages about it, so it must have been good.
He's the best. Here we are, and another Oaks Derby weekend. We got to deal with the elements, but that won't stop us from betting.
No, just the handicapping has been daunting with the track conditions, and you get in one place, and then the rain's going to come, and you got to start over. And then you get off a horse you've been waiting to play for a month, like Gawstruck, who just won it at Churchill. I switched because of the track conditions from the 2 to the 5. At least they ran 1-2, so I hit something. But
I picked Upset Brewing. I thought was in position at the top of the stretch to.
Yeah, well, I didn't think that, once the 2 got the lead, the track condition kind of didn't matter as much, But it's these are some puzzles here for these 2 days, but the conditions are making it harder. Trying to be prepared for them, but then you got to be proactive. You got to be able to change what you. I know doing a radio show before the days before a race, you got to give out what you like and stuff.
Sure.
You got to be on your toes too. You just can't be married to things,
Exactly. And we learned that particularly with 2 day events like this, the Breeders' Cup,
right,
2 days and so forth. And this is such a quirky place. I mean, typically when it's wet, the inside is golden and the further in. However, on the turf, Jonathan was on with us earlier, Paul, and he reminded, and I'm glad he did, that the hedge can be boggy when we get on the grass, and that inside is a negative on the turf, but a positive on the main track.
Without a doubt. The first two races, it was, the track was probably pretty pretty even though for on the main track. But you got to be aware because it can change too. It's going to rain in between maybe on some of these days. You know, it could vary for sure. Johnson reminded me about the turf on Wednesday, and I liked a couple inside horses on Saturday originally, but now I'm going to be very careful to see how that plays out, because on the Breeders' Cup, it was definitely, I mean, if the players were paying attention, there's been lots of good horses that have run off those Breeders' Cup days from the inside. You know, it's a little late now, but there were some good ones, so maybe it'll happen again. If it happens this time, you know, watch the ones that are inside on these 2 days.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, that's trip notes and coming back and your stable mail and, you know, the preparedness and how dedicated you are to making, you know, somebody, making yourself a success at this. And if it doesn't happen on one day, it can happen, you know, down the road. And
right, there's winners in here for next time if you're paying attention. Maybe if even if you don't have it right, or if it gets a little too confusing these next 2 days, you know.
No doubt. Paul, give us anything today. Just the Oaks maybe, or anything that jumped out at you?
Well, the Oaks, I do like. I like the Steve Asmussen horse, the Apple.
Lady Apple.
And I actually think the track condition's better for her even, too. I think she'll like it wet. And I remember her mother, Miss Mary Apple, loved it wet. And she loved Churchill, too, Miss Mary Apple. So, I like her to get in it for sure. I'm not sure she can beat the 4 and the 10, Bellafina and Champagne Anyone. But they're good favorites to go against, I think. They're not there's enough there to bet against them, even though I like both of those two with her the best. You know, I don't think they're 100% reliable.
I agree, and in fact, I'm on the three with you, and those are my top three. I went Champagne, Lady Apple, and I'm protecting Bellafina. I would love to go completely against, but I learned my lesson last year with Monomoy Girl. Not that I was completely against her, but watching her, there's really nothing to her. I mean, you look at her and she's just looked just like something that you would run the other way. But I can also go back to Blind Luck, who I watched School in the Paddock years ago here. She had blotches on her from skin disease as a 2-year-old. She was, you know, 4 foot nothing. I thought, how's this horse going to win the Oaks?
Well, I think that's the thing about this race. Bellafina is not any of those horses that you mentioned. You know, I don't think she's in that league.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is that this is probably not the strongest group. You know, like if we had some in those other years, there was some good competitors that go against those horses and they still got beat. This one's kind of a weak, if you want to compare it to other years, you know. And we know that Bellafina is vulnerable, but, you know, it's not like, you know, the horse is like the good filly there. The Midnight Beezy was in it. You know what I mean? There's not a real, you know, horse that you can go that's just semi, you know, just equal to the talent just below it, maybe, or something like that. It's a different mix.
Well, from there, let's go to Saturday and dive in. Let's start with Derby, and then maybe we'll get a couple of spot plays.
You know, the Derby, I was in the Omaha Beach camp, but the thing that's more important about the Omaha Beach scratch is that the way the race is gonna be played out just completely changed, and I'm having a hard time wrapping around, you know, getting past all the things that I thought earlier, because all those horses that were in the inside speed of them were all in trouble because of Omaha Beach, but now they're all in the game again. You know, I mean, I didn't think Bacoma, War of Will, even though I like them as horses, I think they're very good, they're very talented, and the Maximum Security, who I'm against even if he wins, you know. I mean, but the all three of them were going to, when Omaha Beach turned it up, were all in trouble. I thought he was going to sit off them all, and when he turns it up, they were going to be in trouble. Now it's just them out there And then, and conversely, the horses outside, I think, couldn't be aggressive because of Omaha Beach. What are you going to do, go out, stalk, and sit outside of them? But now, horses like Spinoff, Long Range Toddy, the maiden that got in, they all might go forward now, a little stronger. So it definitely completely changed the composition of the race, you know?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. How does it unfold?
But, you know, I'm trying to get a hold of that. You know, I think that the Arkansas Derby race was the best race. So, you know, the simple way of taking it is, all right, Omaha Beach is out. You're supposed to go to Improbable. You know, and, you know, you can make the Alidar argument with Improbable. You know, when Alidar didn't have Affirmed in the race, you know, he moved. And when he moved, he hit the front and then opened up and won by 10, 14 lengths. But when he had to chase Affirmed and run him down, he couldn't get by him, you know. And Probable ran that type of race last time against Omaha Beach, you know. So it wouldn't shock me if he just makes a move around everybody and then he hits the front, turning for home, and he wins easy. You know, that would be however, you know, the things I was against him against Omaha Beach are still in play. You know, the distance, a mile and a quarter is a little questionable. And the only thing that you know for sure about Improbable is that he's going to show up. You know, he's going to run. He's going to run his race. He's a scrambler. He's a runner. You know, he's going to be in it. And also the off track part about it. You know, he didn't love it, but I'm not really worried about that if the tracks are wet. But I guess that's where I'm going to land Improbable as the key. But, you know, it's not with the same kind of confidences that I would have in other circumstances. But I think he's the most logical key.
That's what I thought. That's the way I wrote it up, too. That's funny.
Yeah.
I completely agreed because, and I mean, with Omaha Beach in the race, he was going to be 7-8-1. You know, he was going to be super attractive from the price point, you know. And now, what's he going to go off at, 5-1?
I maybe even shorter. I think I agree with you. I think it's less attractive, you know. Even though he's got way more chance of winning, I got to get myself out of the mindset that Omaha Beach was actually in the race, you know, and try to just look at it as a new picture, you know. And I've been trying to do that since, but
which can be hard.
Oaks is, there's been a lot of things going on, so
I hear you.
But I still think he's the most logical key. You know, if you're keen, so I would expect him to run and run well.
How about the horses you want to use with him, either from a straightforward exotic kind of play, or horses that you wouldn't be shocked if they won?
Well, I'm definitely going to use the horses from Louisiana. I'm definitely going to use By My Standards, and I'm definitely going to use Spinoff. Even though By My Standards is probably going to be overbet a little bit, I think that was a hidden fast race. Both horses got okay trips in the race, but I'd like to have both of them have trained since. They were improving going into the race. They've maintained or improved since coming out of it, and I'm definitely going to use both of them. And also Country House is out of both races, out of both fast races. My brother Duke put the argument that that's not the greatest post for him, which may be true, but because I don't think he's a true mile and a quarter horse. But I'll throw him in too, just because he's out of those races. I don't want to be, I don't want to be totally lost. And the races from the horse from California, I think Game Winner is clearly better than Roadster. I thought Game Winner was definitely the best horse in the Santa Anita Derby. Game Winner. The problem with Game Winner is, and you know, I don't think he's gotten any better, you know, and I don't see his Breeders' Cup Juvenile race as a winning race, but I don't think he's going to run worse than that. You know what I mean? I think he's going to run, and he'll probably be in it too, but, you know, the Improbable Game Winner exactly doesn't throw me that much. And you got 3-year-olds that are pointing for this race for their whole life. You got to expect one or two of them to break through, you know? So I think
you know, he might give a good account of himself and run third or fourth, but I don't think he'll win. I don't think he's got enough there to win it. You know, he'd have to step forward a little bit, you know, maybe just a hair, but I don't think he's going to. You know, I know some people who like him off his trip in the Santa Anita Derby race, and, I understand that. You know, he was clearly better, you know, than Roadster, but, and you're probable favorite, you know, even so. So it's not anything tricky. With a horse who's got to go forward as the favorite, I'm not thrilled with that idea. But, you know, it'd be hard to leave him out of exactly the track, because I do think he'll run his race, you know.
Excellent. So improbable.
I'm against the race to Wood Memorial. I know that Tacitus is the horse that's got the upside, and I like that in general. But he's got to go way forward. And I know in the Wood Memorial, his race that he showed that adversity and he had a little bit of trouble inside. But if you would have told the connections of Tacitus that, all right, we're going to have a 2-horse duel, and that crazy duel in front of you, and we're going to wipe out 4 horses, but you're going to have a little trouble, but land in the perfect spot. Would you take that? You know, in the race. So, you know, and that's what happened to him. You know, all right, so he had trouble early, but he landed perfectly. You know,
Yeah. You
couldn't have drawn everything else up right. We're going to take the other 3 contenders and wipe them out completely, and then you're going to have to run down tax, you know, because the 2 horses in the front are killing themselves, you know. So I don't want to look too much into that race like it was that, you know, and he got to set up a little bit in the Tampa Bay Derby. I know he can go forward, but I think he's got to be, you're not getting enough to me that he's going to, that there's upside, you know. That's not enough to me. And his trip is a tricky trip in his last. It's not as nearly as bad as what it might appear.
That's a fresh perspective on it, Paul, actually, because it's been, you know, it's become one of those one of those apocryphal tales, you know, like
yeah,
you know,
it's
pretty funny.
Yeah, and that's how I read it, you know, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's how I'm reading it. And you know, again, if he was 25-1, you know, if he was 30-1, he was hidden. But he's one of the favorites, you know.
Right.
I mean, especially now that Omaha Beach is out, he can't get lost. So he's a very talented horse. He's got a lot of, you know, the potential is there for sure. You know, he couldn't be bred better, and he's got a trainer that's probably going to keep improving. But you know, for this situation, I think he's a good go against. And Bacoma, I like him as a horse as well. You know, and he definitely has much more of a chance now that Omaha Beach is out. But, you know, 1.25 is suspect with him for sure. But, you know, if he got loose from those other speeds, I don't think he's going to, because of the fact that Omaha Beach is out now. I think people are going to be more aggressive than they were. So it's a catch-22. I think it's good that he's got more of a chance now that Omaha Beach is out, but he's got to face a different kind of scenario.
That's a great point.
You know, maybe he can, but I'm not convinced that he can. It's not like, you know, oh, yeah, he's going to put away Maximum Security real easy, and he's going to put away if Spinoff and Bodie Express come firing out there, he won't get in the way, you know. And if War Will decides from post one, they got to go hard, you know. There's a lot there, and I'm not sure he's that good, especially at 1.25. So that's kind of where I'm. I don't want to get lost in the fact that I did think that the Arkansas Derby and the Louisiana Derbies were the right horses, the right races to take the horses from. So I'm going to stick with that mode.
I like it. I like it, and that's and people should file that away too, to you know, to make that determination when you know starting to build your approach.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, if you think opposite, then you got some other idea about those 2 races, but I think there's been some mistakes about some speed figures about that Louisiana Derby. That race, it's not as good as the Arkansas Derby, but it's as good as all the other preps, if not better. So, and it was done before all these other horses. So, those 2 horses definitely could go forward, you know, or 3, whatever the 3 of them out of there. So, and I think if you look at Country House, it's all what I'm saying is been proven out with the way he ran in the Arkansas Derby and the way he's progressed. So, you know, so, but, you know, I don't want to steer anybody in the wrong direction, but that's my thoughts.
No, I love it. What where's Maximum Security finish?
Well, if you listen to Duke, he's guaranteeing him to run last. I don't know. You know, you cannot bet him. You know, you can't take – if you bet horses that get situations like him, I mean, that's the absolute dream case scenario. The thing that was weird about the Florida Derby, and this happens, though, you know, when these races get real slow for the first half mile, but get turned up enough early that they get to be fast, you can get these big speed figures. American Pharoah had a exact line in the Breeders' Cup Classic where it was the slowest half mile ever in Breeders' Cup history, and I'm sure this is the slowest half mile in Florida Derby based on pace figures. I mean, it is absolutely slower than you can even possibly imagine. I mean, you know, Philly Maiden Five Claimers at Finger Lakes go faster to a half mile than the number I've got for Florida Derby to the half. You know, I mean, I've got it basically on a scale of, you know, it's so a buyer-like scale, and I gave it a 14 to the half, which is unheard of. I mean, you know.
14? That's unbelievable. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I mean, that's how slow that race was. So, so in turn, what happens is Maximum Security gets good late pace numbers, you know, because of it. But it's tricky, you know. It's a real tricky scenario, and you have to bet against horses that get that scenario, you know. I mean, you can make the argument, well, it didn't mean anything, so he's got the good late pace stuff, you know, so that you know he could run, but. In general, you have to bet against horses like that, you know. So that's why I'm against it. But, you know, that's why Code of Honor is much more interesting to me as a horse out of the Florida Derby. You know, even though he didn't run, you know, all that great in the Florida Derby, a race that tricky, you know, to be that far behind in a race that slow, it's a really, you know, he was put in a situation that he's never going to face again. You know, so it's almost like you draw a line through it. So if you like Code of Honor before that, the Florida Derby, I wouldn't take anything out of the Florida Derby on him at all. And I really like when Chug works horses fast. So I will probably use him in there somewhere, even though I'm a little suspect of him at a mile and a quarter, and if he's quite good enough to win this. But I really like his workout, Code of Honor. When Chug works him fast, that's a good sign. You know, I think he'll run well, you know. And the thing about Code of Honor, I got onto him a little bit when Omaha Beach was in the race. I knew that the strategy with Code of Honor was going to be to follow Omaha Beach. So he was going to get in a good spot, you know. He was going to try to stay closer and just follow Omaha Beach. Now his strategy changes too, you know. But I do think he's got a chance.
Well, and as we always say, any derby is enhanced, and any big race is enhanced with Chug McGahee involved, and any of our pre-race conversations enhanced
no doubt.
With Paul Matisse visit. Paul, best of luck to you and Team Matisse.
All right, thank you. You too, Steve. Have a good time down there.
I appreciate it, everybody, your visit with Paul Matisse, and we'll check in with Paul and Duke and... And maybe we'll get a chick visit in, too, during the Triple Crown run. We're going to stay right here, and we still got tons to do. We've got Hammer and Jimmy Ventura standing by, and while we go to them, and they're at Monmouth, they're in Oceanport, they open up tomorrow, as does, Delaware comes in, and Prairie Meadows, Arlington this weekend, Canterbury. It's springtime, and the racetracks at Louisiana Downs too, I think, opens this weekend. So it's that time of year, and Hammer is like a swallow returning to Capistrano, only it's returning to Oceanport. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. We are, Jimmy and I are sitting here, Monmouth Park, in the William Hill room with Jackie, who's our waitress for the day. She just brought us our first
Bloody Mary, which made the day a lot better. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Say hi, Jackie.
Good morning. Hi, Steve.
Jackie, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's all good. We're back to the scene of the crime, and which actually is actually true. Quick story. 30 years ago, literally almost to the day, May 1st, 1989, I made my first foray into New Jersey, and I had the job at Monmouth Park, but of course I had to come out and check the area out first. And I was working for Bobby Humphrey at the time, and I said, well, where should I stay? And he goes, well, you just stay at my sister's house. Well, okay. And he goes, as a matter of fact, she's having a party. So I got on a plane, rented a car, drove down to Oceanport, stopped at the liquor store, picked up 2 half-gallons of Stoli, knocked on the door, and the screen door was open. There were some people in the background. Of course, I didn't know anyone. And I heard a voice, and they said, oh, you must be Bobby's friend, because I had the 2 things of Stoli. You make the Bloody Marys for the party. And so that was New Jersey's first taste of the loudmouth from California, and ended up going to that party, meeting a bunch of horsemen and the Pearls Wigs and the Carlesimos and Danny Dufford, and was spouting off about Sunday Silence, you know, and was told basically hit the road. And, of course, Sunday Silence won and came back here in a month later, met Jimmy and Mike Dempsey and a bunch of others, and we're back here 30 years later. It is quite a story. That was basically the first day of the rest of my life 30 years ago, and we're still here to talk about it.
I love it. Well, you know, you and I, we talked last night, and it's such a special atmosphere, and it's so beautiful, and it's going to be a very big summer at Monmouth. They've got a lot of things going for them, and you know, we're looking forward to getting down there. Haskell on a Saturday this year. That's the big innovation.
And I think they moved it, right? I moved it up a week, or is it 2 weeks? I think at least 1 week. I don't know. We'll find out later if that was the right idea or not. But, you know, they're trying to change things up here. We're in the, like I said, this new room here. It's called the William Hill Room. And we've got, they fixed the old cafeteria out by the paddock. And they've got some, you know, basketball going on and hockey during the day and baseball. So you can make a bet on pretty much anything you want. And it's a little different, and I think there's hammers going on and jackhammers out front and paintbrushes, and they're getting ready for opening day, but I think they're also getting ready for, you know, the future, what's coming on, and really kind of improving the facility here. So it's great to be back. Of course, last week we were in Talladega for the car race, and I got to say, I've been to a car race before, but I've never been to anything like Talladega. So anybody that's thought about it or thinking about it as a place to go one of these years, pack up and go. You want to see 80,000 people having a great time and enjoying the race and enjoying the atmosphere. That's the spot to go. So, well, yeah, we are on tour. But anyway, we're here now to talk about today and tomorrow. And Scott, you've had some wonderful guests going along, and it's just interesting to note that A lot of different picks in a lot of the races, and that's the way it's going to be. And Paul brought up a great point. I mean, I think you really have to be willing to make a change, not necessarily even day to day, but race to race. And you know, as conditions change out there, it starts raining or the turf on or off the turf. So today's picks might not be tomorrow's bets necessarily. So, and what is one of those days? Don't let anybody talk you off your pick.
No doubt. Let's dive in. Let's get Oaks pushes, and then we'll look at Saturday.
Well, obviously the big question is the Bellafina deal, and if there's any kind of California jinx out there that's still permeating because of the situation. I mean, we had the unfortunate scratch of Omaha Beach. I was wondering if that's something going on there, but I mean, Bellafina on paper looks like a natural, but I'm going to be in a camp that a lot of other people aren't trying to get her beat. I think Jaywalk might reappear again, so I do like her a little bit. With a couple of the other usuals that are in there that win at a price, with Dallas Stewart and Out for a Spin and Street Band, Larry Jones seems to have magic when it comes to the Oaks. I like him a little bit. And then the Catalana horse, Leora. As well to throw in there. And you know, I'm gonna at this point right now, unless Bellafina's 2-1 or 5-2 for some freak reason, but I'm gonna look and try and beat her. And I think Jimmy has the same type of situation going.
Yeah, I like out for a spin down in the rail. Lady Apple in the second spot. I can't completely toss Bellafina. I know that, you know, she has a hitch in her get-along, but she just happens to hitch really fast. And I guess the other horse that's not traveling perfect is that Restless Rider on the outside. But I'm going to try to, you know, key the race with Out for a Spin and Lady Apple, and then use those other two underneath.
Now, I know you're pretty high on that, the Ian Wilkes filly, Champagne Anyone. I've heard a lot of other talks about her. How's her week been leading up to the Oaks?
She's thriving. I mean, that workout the other day, 59 basically. I mean, she's doing tremendous. And what's fun about her a little bit from a price standpoint is that, you know, she doesn't have glaring figs. And even on, you know, even on sheet methodology, she looks a little, quote unquote, a little slow. But she's doing tremendous. And I think Ian Wilkes has had some success with Street Sense at this racetrack. Yeah, so.
I have a feeling that they're gonna bet the hell out of that filly just because of everything that I've heard. Same as you, she's training like a bear. You know, she's a couple points slower than everybody else, and I don't know if there's going to be tremendous value. I think she's going to be bet more than, because everybody seems to like her. But you know what? Take a $18, $15, $10 horse and wail away. As Hammer said, don't get talked out of it.
Well, it's a 14 horse field, and there's going to be a couple horses get lost. And the question is, if you're assuming that there's going to be a bit of a meltdown in here, there is the possibility that one or maybe two of the speed horses, when there's that many speed horses, there may be one or two that sit comfortably and are able to adjust and don't run open mouth. But the problem is, it sure looks like Serengeti Empress is just got one way of going, you know, so you're dealing with that. Leora hasn't been able to keep up, particularly with her. Bellafina, you know, certainly needs to be part of the action. Motion, same thing. I mean, she's got to be, and to me, she might be. I'm going to assume that Serengeti Empress might have one step on her, and being outside helps. But there's just too many horses. We haven't even got to Jaywalk. You got five horses that all have serious designs on the front end. So if one of them adjusts and can sit, they may end up being the one that inherits the lead, and the closers will be coming at her. So you're in a quandary. You can't just toss all the speeds. It's a weird dynamic on from that front. But listen, that's what we're dealing with. Let's turn to Saturday.
And we'll turn to Saturday. Positive Spirit as the bomb of all.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, no, she's.
So anyway,
she's got some fans, Jimmy. She's got some fans.
Yeah. No, so that she's going to be in my ticket too. Sorry to digress.
Not at all.
Okay. To Saturday.
Yep.
Where do you?
I mean, obviously, looking at the 2 days today, looks like it could be a little chalky. Not real sure, but it looks that way. Which Saturday looks like it's going to offer a few more chances to take a little bit of a shot and make some money. So where do you want to go on Saturday?
Well, start with the Derby. Get the Derby out of the way, and then a couple of spot plays, because I've got to get to Maury Wolf yet this morning, and maybe Gary Young.
Well, I mean, I'll right now today at 12 o'clock or whatever time it is before. I'm sticking with Tacoma a little bit. I mean, 20 to 1 in the program. I'd probably be down a little bit now with the scratch, but I like him. But I got I've got four or five other horses around that, including Cax, Improbable, Game Winner, Spinoff. You know what? And even that maiden that drew in, it just gives me, it's like, I don't know. I see this horse going off at 80 to 1 and finishing third or fourth. So, I'm not afraid of him, and Maximum Security I haven't don't know what to do with, but I'm looking for Vekoma to be one of the ones that sits a little bit off. I've seen sheets or prognostications that have him alone on the lead. I don't know if that's the case here, but you know, and people are scared off probably by the action when they saw him turn up for home last week. her last race, and kind of put that out of my mind. But I do like the price, and I think of the preps that we saw, I think he was the most impressive, and I like him going forward. So if I right now, I pick him on top with a couple of those other ones underneath, and we might adjust this as we go along. But right now, that's where I lay.
All right.
I know War Will's been training lights out, and he was – I have him in the future book. So it's the one post that's scaring me. If I have to, I'm going to try to bet the race team game winner first and second with War of Will, Tax, and Improbable.
Game now, winner, War of Will, Tax, Improbable. Got it.
So, Steve, with the scratches, as far as the gate, where the horse is going to break from, actually from the gate. How what
from
the adjustments
two
are
from the
made?
Two they'll move all they'll all move over one. Well, they'll start War of Will in the two berth and go from the two to the 20. So the one hole will remain open.
So he'll still be on the fence, but that moves him over three or four.
It helps.
Feet.
It helps.
And it has to help. It has to help. So that's good news for War of Will fans. And. And, you know, I'm not going to be terribly surprised if he runs good, but, you know, it's a tough way to come back off of that prep. But he was doing so well going into that race that I obviously going to put the old line through the race and hope he runs back to the other. But that's a plus for War of Will for sure if you're a War of Will fan.
Agreed. Let's give us a horse. We'll go back and forth for a couple of rounds. Anything else that's jumped off as you've looked at the cards?
Umana, Spice Perfection, number two. Like that horse quite a bit. In the Pat Day, although Instagram will be chalked up, I think I like Dream Maker a little bit there. And in the Old Forester, Prime Attraction with Bricks and Mortar.
How about that?
Okay.
A vote for Cassidy. We love it. Hammer, what about you?
Yep. All right, going down the list real quickly, the Humana, I've got Amy's Challenge over Spice Perfection and Marley's Freedom. In the Distaff, I like Take These Chains with Daddy's a Legend and Valedictorian underneath. In the Churchill Downs, I like Uncontested with Matoli and Duchere underneath. In the American Turf, I like Social Paranoia with Avi's Platter and the Black Album. And Instagram is going to be tough to beat. I've got Mr. Honey and Last Judgment in that spot. And in the turf race, I like the rail horse, Corban, Kieran's horse, over Bricks and Mortar and Nick Shares. So I'm pumped up. Some of those horses are decent prices. And so this is going to be one of those deals where you get through the day and you check your wallet and you hope you have a few dollars left to bet who you really like.
You know, I think as most people were saying earlier, Steve, is that, you know, you have to be able to not be so stubborn in your selections from Friday when you get to Saturday. And after you watch a few races and see how the race, you know, the track plays out, you know, I'm looking at these sequences, pick five, pick four, pick five, pick four, pick five. So just be careful you don't get bled out early if you get caught into too many of those. I'm sure Churchill's not happy with that comment. But just, you know, pick your spots, and I think you just have to be able to call audibles throughout the day.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, we'll watch today, and then you make some assessments. That also includes, you know, certain barns that look like they're hot and live. And also, there is some overlap of horses that ran against each other recently that are in either allowance races or stakes races. So there's some of that company line opportunity as well over the 2 days. Well, guys, where's the Shore dinner tonight? I got to ask that.
Well, we're going over to one of the Jersey Shore's greatest handicappers, Greg Bowles. And he is going to put on the show tonight. We're having a barbecue, and I'm sure we'll be telling lots of tales. So it'll be at Monmouth Beach, and we'll be on the deck handicapping, telling stories, and having a great time.
Outstanding. Well, as always, another one of our big Friday routines and traditions. Rick Hammerly and Jimmy Ventura, 1 and 1A. Fast times on the Jersey Shore.
There you go. You guys have a great day. Best of luck, and thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve, and we'll talk to you next week from
You got it.
Unknown.
Exactly. I'll be, if I'm lucky, I'll be home. I hope I'm home anyway.
Jackie says goodbye. She said thank you too.
Tip Jackie appropriately.
We will.
Give her an appearance fee.
Bloody Mary's coming.
I love it. Hammer and Ventura, everybody, at Oceanport and Monmouth opening tomorrow. We're going to stay right here, and we're going to sprint to the wire. We got about 15, 16 minutes to fill out, and Maury Wolf standing by.
Steve.
How are you, Maury?
Good. How are you?
Good, and I know I should be talking horses immediately. However, the baseball season, baseball is, you know, sports bettors could learn from maybe the greatest baseball bettor in the country. How's the baseball season so far?
Hardly that, but it's not bad. Very pleased with the fast start that the Tampa Rays have gotten off to. Think they're underrated.
Well, see, I hate to be a root against, but I'm hoping that the attendance stays down so that we can poach the Rays to become the new Montreal Expos, which the rumor mill has.
The rumor mill certainly has that. It's run by a bunch of investment guys, so you have to believe they'll be trying to get to the highest return.
And aren't we all, Maury?
Exactly.
Maury, this derby has taken some twists and turns. It felt like we were coming in with a boring sort of staid scenario with some good storylines, and then in the last 48 hours, things kind of spun out of control, losing you can't anoint him a reliable favorite, but he certainly looked like a legitimate favorite, Omaha Beach. We lose Heichel from the tail end of the field. He was going to try to rally into a murky pace picture. What's your derby call here? What do you expect later on Saturday?
My derby call, I was another of those who thought because of his running style and the way he was coming to the race that Omaha Beach would be quite formidable. I still believe that the Arkansas preps were the strongest of the preps, but there isn't a lot of difference among them. So I've got a future on Improbable. I feel better about it today than I did 48 hours ago. Feel very bad for Mandela and Porter and all of the connections there. But if you have a future on Improbable, certainly you didn't want to see Omaha Beach again because it didn't look like he was ever going by in the Arkansas Derby. Omaha Beach just had more horse than he did every step of the way. That said, with Omaha Beach out, it's a very open race. And the track conditions make it even more, a little more random. Obviously, Improbable is handled the slop. There are a lot of horses out there like Tacitus who are beautifully bred for it. But it is another variable in a race which already has quite a few. If someone's looking for off-track horses, I thought Shug McGahee's horse Code of Honor worked beautifully in the slop at Keeneland, and certainly that is not going to it's not going to hurt his chances.
What about pace in here, Maury? What do you expect with some horses lined up down inside that have pace? There's a couple of extremes like Spinoff now, and of course Bodie Express draws in, and the two of them are going to hightail it, I would think, to try to get position forwardly before the turn.
This is two comments about that, Steve. One is that it is typically the fractions of this race are faster than you would expect from the horses in it for precisely the reason you've said, that horses with outside draws feel like they have to use to get over. Horses with inside draws don't want the field coming over on them, and suddenly they go from 5th to 11th. So that horses like the inside horse, War of Will, Tax, and the two outside horses are probably going to be keeping the two natural speeds, who I think are Maximum Security and Vekoma. They'll probably end up giving them more pace than you might expect from just looking at the paper, just because that's the way the Derby is run. It should be noted that one big change since Churchill started giving bonuses to horses that had their best races late and not counting the results from sprints in the two-year-old year and so forth, is that this race is held together much better. It's much more like a normal dirt race now. This race holds together much better, even if the pace is fast, than it did back when you saw those sort of swooping wide moves on the second turn and horses from last and 18th and so forth ended up in the superfecta, because you don't really have the sort of crazy sprinter speed that you had before Churchill modified the rule 7 or 8 years ago. I don't think Maximum Security is proven. The Florida Derby was such a fluky race. And Vekoma, on paper, he kind of reminds me of Good Magic, but I really wonder, I mean, he's got that strange paddling style, and you wonder sooner or later whether that's going to cost him. He's certainly, to me, Vekoma's the horse who benefit, he and Maximum Security, but perhaps Vekoma even more so are the clear beneficiaries of the scratch of Omaha Beach in terms of how the race gets run. I just suspect that some inside horses are going to be pushing early, and I don't think either Vekoma or Maximum Security is quite the best horse in the race.
Well, that leaves us with what for a top four?
Well, I like Improbable the most, even though I wasn't thrilled with the way he ran in the Arkansas Derby. He's training better now. I think the blinkers off is a very, very fortunate circumstance. I don't think the blinkers helped either when he worked or in his race, and I think getting rid of them is what it's called for. I like the way Code of Honor trained into this race. I thought he was a really good two-year-old last year, and if he comes back to that race, he certainly could be an interesting long shot. By my standards, he's trained brilliantly since arriving at Churchill. He's a golden sense. If that doesn't make you gulp, I'm not sure what will, going a mile and a quarter, but he's training very well into the race, and he does have that look of a horse who's peaking at the right time. For a fourth horse, I'm fine with just about anybody. There's nothing wrong with the two Baffert horses on the outside. I prefer Game Winner off the trip. It should be noted, I went back on Time Form, which enables you to see all their workouts. According to Time Form, neither of them has ever worked on and off track. So that's a little bit of reason to be skeptical at a relatively short price on those two. Tacitus, as I said, his dam was a terrific off-track horse. You have to believe that will help his chances. I'm not sold on the wood as the is all that strong a prep, but he's another horse that looks like he's coming into his own at the right time. The two long shots are the horses that I sort of think are the most interesting horses in what's a wide open race, and Improbable, just I believe, is coming out of the best of the best prep.
Well, Maury, I appreciate it as always. Wanted to get as many of the top opinions as we possibly could, and you and Paul Matisse earlier, and Gary Young is going to follow you here to close out our 2 weeks at Churchill. Good luck today, and we'll look forward to talking soon and touching base as the Triple Crown unfolds.
Thanks very much. And, Steve, congratulations on winning the Hilltop Award. Speaking
Maury,
of things coming up in a couple of weeks.
That is too kind. And as somebody from the area, you can imagine what it means to me. And thank you for the kind thought. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Steve.
Maury,
do well in the Derby.
You too. Maury Wolf, everybody, and a complete pleasure. Maury, and I'm not kidding, he poo-pooed it, but Maury, one of the top baseball bettors, sports bettor, but any kind of bettor, one of the greatest opinions there is. As is Gary Young, he's hanging around. Some years he wraps up his work and goes back to California to enjoy the Derby festivities from there, but he's going to be on your NBC telecast tomorrow, and he'll be able to have the benefit of knowing where the track, how the track is playing. Gary, here we are. We got about 4 minutes to wrap up these 2 weeks. And first of all, thanks for everything.
No problem. No problem. I'm trying to find a parking spot, and I'm listening to Frankie Valli sing "My Eyes Adore You."
Well, we adore your opinion and your insights. Some final thoughts going into the Oaks today and the Derby tomorrow.
Are you lost? just 3 minutes. You know, it's been a wild week, and now we got the weather to make another variable. I mean, we've had defections, some long shots, some not. Hold on 1 second. I got it.
Joe Parker Valet.
How much is the valet? A complimentary? That's fine. I'll take valet.
That's the right price.
I mean, I was waiting for him to say $150.
You would have paid anything.
You know, I mean,
That was great.
Not a big thing. Now I'm going to pull up and see if it actually is valet. it poured last night. I mean,
yes,
I know that the main track is very good at drying out. The turf has to be some kind of wet today, as hard as it rained last night.
They're calling it good.
Okay.
And usually that means it means one more tiered below. So call it. It's probably yielding.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so what do you think?
They know what I think. I want to know. They want to know what you think going into this. First of all, today, has Bellafina worked her way out of her funk?
I'm going against her. I respect her greatly, but I'm going against her today.
All right.
I think Amaya Tenace is stretching her as far as she wants to go. I think that there's other speed in the race. I think she's obviously returning to the scene of a place that she did not run her best race.
Hello.
Hi, and I'm going against her today.
Who do you like, Gary? Who are you going to use?
I'm going Champagne Anyone, and for a long shot, I'm going Lady Apple.
Yeah, that's my top two. Beautiful. How about Saturday? Let's get the final top four from you for your Derby superfecta.
Whew. I'm going to go with Game Winner. I think War Will I'd have to throw in there for value. I think Roadster's going to wind up in the superfecta somewhere.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, I don't know what to make. I was kind of so-so on Tacit as his work. But his gallops and the way he looks and his coat and everything is giving other signals. I just go with the top three, and I tell the listeners to make up the fourth one on their own.
That's fine. Game Winner, War of Will, who you loved all week, since you got here from Ocala, and you're really the first person to include Roadster in top selections. I got to tell you that.
Included who?
You're the first person to really key in on Roadster at all.
You know, that guy that trains him, it's tough to, I mean, if it wasn't for the pulling if it was a mile and an eighth or a flat mile, I'd have him in there. I just have trepidation about the 10 furlongs. I do.
Kind of a Shackelford feel?
You know, a little bit, yeah.
All right, well, then maybe we'll have to bet him in 2 weeks. Gary, we'll be watching for you on NBC a little bit, about 20, 25 minutes before post time, and we'll be looking for you out here in the paddock in a little bit.
All right, I'll see you there, Steve. Thank you very much.
Gary Young, thoroughbreds.com, for Gary's bloodstock advice, which... can get you any kind of horse, like Evening Jewel and Call Paul and with the slightly offbeat name. Gary's had no shortage of graded stake winners. We hope that we gave you some graded stake winners over these last, particularly these last 2 days, these last 6 hours, as we get ready to send it into the weekend. And, of course, HRRN coverage here on SiriusXM. And I think a few of the other sports channels are excited about Derby. And I know I just got a couple of, I guess I'm going to be on a couple of things for my thoughts. And I've got today up, I couldn't really adjust the early part of the card because of the late scratches and some of that confusion. So I didn't do any multi-race stuff for the early portion of the day. But the more serious racing yet to come. And I'll be working on the rest of tomorrow. And I don't have to pick up Tina until 11. She doesn't get into 11 o'clock tonight. So I'll have your Derby Day analysis at the websites, at Derby Trail and at SteveBick.com later this evening, or maybe even this afternoon. We'll see. I want to thank Jolan, who was just unbelievable. You know, to bring on one caller after another like we did, it just brilliant. And KC's got to spend, it looks like, the weekend yet in hospital. So we're thinking of him, and Joe will get she'll get the archive and podcast out as soon as she possibly can. Too much of a list to say thank you to today. If you were listening, you heard him, so you don't need me to reiterate. But I will say how much fun, I will reiterate how much I love coming here and bringing you the sights and sounds and everything that goes into Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks weekend. Best of luck. Enjoy it. And we will talk Monday about everything that's going to go on from now till tomorrow night. Plenty of good stakes action around the country, too. Santa Anita, Belmont, and more. The game doesn't live by Derby alone, right? Thanks, everybody. Talk to you Monday.